Praise the Lord. This is my voice. Camp was absolutely life-changing. It was better than any. I've went to camp 3 years in a row, and this was the best camp I've ever been to in my life. God is definitely pouring out revival. Tuesday and Thursday were our best nights. On Thursday, we had no preaching. He preached on hell, and he preached the house down. Tuesday night, he preached on getting the mold out of your life. And those were absolute, they absolutely touched each and every one of us. We all got callings on our life this week. Tuesday night was so amazing, and the Spirit was so heavy. I think that's the night we didn't have any, one of those nights we didn't have any preaching. And at altar call, I was praying, and I couldn't get enough, and I was one of the last ones in the sanctuary. And one of the women from the Palestine church, they were telling me to go ahead, and we need to come on and go get ready for playing games and recreation and stuff. And I went over there, and it wasn't 30 minutes later, we were in the cafeteria, and I was laughing in the Holy Ghost. I was so drunk. I laughed for 2 hours straight. I couldn't stop. And finally, I had to pray more, and I had to get it out. So I want to say about 2 hours and 30 minutes, I prayed even after church was over with. It was so amazing. And God definitely changed some lives this year.
Praise the Lord. I just been like outpoured about camp. It's just been a life changing experience for me. God has used me in so many ways in camp, and it was this one church service where like the preacher said, "Okay, everybody get quiet," and then it got quiet, and then I just started speaking in tongues out to God, and I was just praising His name, and then He used me. And you know, I think, you know, God used me as a vessel, you know. He can use anybody, but He used me, and I thank God that God uses us today in every way. So I just want to thank God for that. And it was that when He was preaching about hell, and that He played a soundtrack that they heard people were, like, in hell or something like that, and we all just fell to our knees and started crying out. You know, it really gets you ready to go to heaven, and it just pricked my heart, and I just thank God for using me in just a mighty way at camp. And those are people who didn't go, I hope you come next year, because it's an awesome experience.
Well, we went to camp, and like everyone's saying, it is a life-changing experience. And Monday night was good, and like she said, Tuesday and Thursday nights were the best nights. It's most of the time the Friday nights, and I remember Brother Grissom preaching like the Sunday before we went to camp, don't wait till the last Friday night to get spiritual with God. Just go ahead and get it over with the first Monday night. And Tuesday night, I was just sitting there, and I was like, okay, God, I need a breakthrough. I'm trying to break through, and I was just repenting for all the things that I've been dealing with. And then this one girl came up, and she was all speaking in tongues and stuff, and she came up to my ear, and she told me the things. I don't even know this girl, and she told me the things that I've been dealing with, and I just broke through, and I was dancing all over the place. And it was, and like, it was me, Hannah, and this other girl, and we were just getting wild with it. It was pretty neat. And then Wednesday night, a lot of the campers, like most of them, they all had God gave them a calling that night. And that was Thursday night. Everybody got a calling, whether to be a preacher or to be a missionary or something. And I was just, you know, I didn't really feel anything. But Friday night, I got the calling to be a soul winner. So I'm going to try my hardest, and it doesn't matter who it is. I'm going to win my school, I'm going to win my family, and I'm just going to praise Jesus anyhow.
Praise the Lord. I've never been to camp before, and I just went this year, and I'm here to tell you it's like one of the best experiences you could ever have. It was amazing. I can't wait till next year already, and it's barely been over. And God was great. You know, like they said, Tuesday and Thursday nights were the best nights. It was just amazing all week long. And I praise God for letting me go, and I'm looking forward to going next year.
There's also Kenzie and Amanda and Cody went. They didn't want to testify. They said ditto to all that. Hey, man, I'm so glad that we had 7 go. It's exciting. Reason I'm up here, though, is I'm up here to try to get some money. We're having a guidelines to godly giving, living, this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock for all of our youth. And we need some donations with money to help buy the food. So if you can give $1, $2, $3, $20, $100, whatever you can give, if you will. Brother Marshall, can you help take this up? You can start with me. We need just whatever. I would say probably, 100? Probably 120 or so. So anyway. Also, I wanted to say that I am very excited about Sister Cherie and Sister Amanda Guidry being here. They are helping us out with the choir. They're helping us out with music when Sister Hart isn't here to help us. And she's doing a great job. So thank you, Cherie. Appreciate it very much.
Amen. Man, this is cool. We got youth coming back saying they was wild with it, and we're all happy about that. Amen. Hey, that's something to be proud of. We've got good youth here. Amen. If you want to see what this church is going to look like in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, those on the front row right there. Amen. Amen. Couldn't be more proud of our kids. Amen. They're not y'all's kids anymore. They're our kids. Amen. We love them all. Amen. I could just go on and on about them. But then they get the big heads. I'm not going to do it. Let's see. We did the announcements. We did the offering. Cherie's got an announcement, I believe.
Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be here. And I'm so glad to see all of these young people. Don't we have an awesome youth group here? Are y'all proud of them? I'm very proud. I'm so glad we get to work with them, and we worked on a new choir song today. Y'all are going to hear that, and they are just phenomenal. I'm so excited to get to work with them. And one of the things I've always believed, that it's good to improve whatever skills you have. God gives us skills, just like in the Bible. When he gave people the talents, he wanted them to increase those talents. So that's one of the things we're trying to do. So kind of along the lines of what Brother Bubba was saying, we have a thing coming up the next weekend after the Guidelines for Godly Living seminar. We're going to be doing a sing-a-thon. And so you guys have heard of walk-a-thons, where you walk and raise money. And, well, this is a little bit nicer because we're not out in the hot sun in the middle of July. But we're going to be in the church, and we're going to be singing. And we're going to try to raise some money for a project. And basically, if you would like to come and be with us that day, it's going to be on July 16th. It's a Saturday, and we're going to go from about 9 to 4. We're going to be singing new songs, learning about singing, learning about worship, the nature of worship, and what it is to give God our worship, and we're going to learn a bunch of new choir songs. It's going to be fun. So if you'd like to come, you're welcome to. I really want the youth choir to come, of course. And also, if you have it on your heart to help sponsor one of these youth, for every hour we sing, you know, that's the way it works. So if you sponsor them for $1 an hour, we're going to sing for about 6 hours, so it'll be $6. So they're going to work for it, I promise. I will make them work. It's going to be fun. So if you would like to help us out with that, we would welcome that. If you would like to come and sing with us, we'd like that too. And if nothing else, we would appreciate your prayers as we do this. So praise the Lord. Thank you.
I know the Lord will make a way for me.
What a great testimony to have. Know the Lord will make a way for me. Amen. Choir, if you'll go ahead and prepare, or youth choir, if you'll go ahead and prepare to come. Amen.
Ago, everybody testified, and now I feel bad because I didn't testify, but every time I get up here and testify or say something, I embarrass myself, but I'm going to testify anyway. I had a really good time, too. It was just awesome, just like everybody else said, like, ditto to that, but it was really neat Tuesday and Thursday night. They were talking about, you know, how, well, Kayla said she got a calling on her life to witness to people and help people, bring people to God, and we all got that, and we, you know, we're in the last days, and God is coming close, and, you know, all these people, all these lost people out here, our schools and our family that are lost, we need to save them, and, you know, we need to help them, because we can't do this alone, and just, like, I was praying Thursday night, and just like Kayla said that this girl came up to her, she came up to me, too, and I didn't even know her, and she told me that she was like, just start praying, thanking God for the victory, and start dancing like you would if He just answered your prayer, because He just did. And it was just awesome. And yeah, just wow, yeah.
Like she said, it was, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself also. Tuesday night was a good night. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't as spiritual, you know, as everybody else was, you know. I was, but then I wasn't, you know? Anyways, Thursday night, the one where he preached about on hell, you know, he's like, and especially the recording that he played, you know, that was so scary. I wasn't even crying or anything, like, 5 minutes before. I was talking pretty much to my friend next to me. And I am a little bit ashamed to admit that, yes. Anyways, but it was for a good cause. It was a good cause. I don't remember what we were talking about. But I listened. And so he started playing that recording and talking about it, and then everybody was quiet. And I just started crying, you know. I was so scared. I didn't even know what to think. I'm still scared. Anyways, and so I just started crying and literally speaking in tongues, and I was just like, I don't know. Anyway, so I started praying for my friends, and Thursday night was a good night for me. And Friday, you know, it wasn't even, normally on Fridays, it's always jumping, and everybody's shouting and rolling around, and that really wasn't it. Nobody was really doing that. Everybody was, you know, it was mostly Tuesday and Thursday, and I had an awesome time. I don't know about y'all, but I had an amazing time. I can't wait till next year.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Jesus, the most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. When I speak your name, mountains move and chains are loose. When I speak your no hope.
Lonely one.
the most wonderful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings freedom and
God is a faith.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Why don't we do our Pentecostal calisthenics right now? If we could all just stand for just a moment, amen. Get our blood flowing, amen. It's kind of like Jumping Jacks Pentecostal style, amen. So you stand up and you put one hand up and you put the other hand up and then you just do what comes natural and praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I worship you. Lord God, I thank you.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Lord God, have mercy. Lord God, I come to praise you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I have felt the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. We've had a great time. Now why don't we just go ahead and hear from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That sounds pretty good. Why don't you continue to worship as the pastor comes?
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can spell freedom, J-E-S-U-S. Amen. Because in Jesus Christ, we are free. He whom the Son hath set free, he's free indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. May be seated. I'm going to ask Sheree to come help me. We're going to try to do a little song. We've had a request, but we're going to do it anyway. Amen. You've heard that one, but I like to say it. So. Might be somebody here that hadn't heard that. We don't want them to miss out. Amen. And we know how to do this now. Amen. We did a little song this morning that said, "Let Freedom Ring." We worked a long time on this, so I thought we'll get all the good out of it we can. And so worship with us tonight. How many grateful for the freedom we have in this United States of America? Amen. We really don't know how much to appreciate it because we were born free. Amen. But nonetheless, I appreciate all I know how to. And I'm very thankful for those that paid a price to bring this freedom to us tonight. It beats in the heart of every person, but not everybody has the opportunities that you and I have tonight to enjoy the freedoms that we have enjoyed down through the years. Amen. So I thank God for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate Independence Day. It's interesting, the view of history, isn't it? Over here we called it the Revolutionary War. On the other side of the pond they call it the Great Rebellion. Same war, different name. Same outcome. Amen. But nonetheless, it's interesting how we all interpret history. Let me say tonight, thank you to our friends and brothers, sisters from Gun Barrel for coming tonight. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Are we ready? All right.
Deep within, the heart has always known that there is freedom. Somehow breathe into the soul alive. The prisoner, the powers, the the saints have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the skies. Even life begins because a baby fights for freedom, and songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. Some have walked through fire and flood to find the place of freedom, and some faced hell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever the heart knows pain. Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no key. We can be free and we can sing. Let freedom ring.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. He deserves it tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. We never knew what true freedom was until we met Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He brought true liberty to our lives. Amen. I marvel at people that think this is bondage. You know, the fact of the matter is, I drank all I wanted to last night. I just didn't want any. I had all the marijuana I wanted last night. I just didn't want any. Amen. I had all the sin I wanted. I just didn't want any. It's true freedom when you can do it, but you don't want to. True freedom is when you lose the want to. Amen. And you rise to a higher life because Jesus puts the want to in your heart. And then you have the ability to say no. That's what liberty is. That's what freedom is. Amen. It's not freedom to sin, but it's freedom from sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for the freedom tonight that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on a little subject called Faith Makes a Difference. Faith makes a difference. Amen. In the book of Luke, you don't have to stand because it's a whole lot of reading tonight. Amen. But just in the book of Luke, if you want to turn there for reference, in the fourth chapter, we find that Jesus, the Bible says, in one place it said, and the Spirit drave him into the wilderness. It was as if it pushed him. There was this desire in his heart to get away and spend some time in the wilderness. And the Bible says that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the devil came and he tempted him for 40 days and for 40 nights. The battle raged. And the Bible says after the 40 days and the 40 nights that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Amen. There was something that transpired in the wilderness. There was an anointing that came upon him. And when he got back home, he started preaching. Amen. I said it this morning. I'm going to say it again. If you want to talk to people about God, first of all, you talk to God about people. Amen. You get some anointing on your life. You get some compassion in your heart. You get the love of God flowing through you. And then you go talk to people. You'll not be interested in winning arguments, but you'll be wise to win souls. It makes all the difference when the anointing comes. Somebody said, I don't know what the anointing is, but I know when it ain't. And everybody that's ever experienced anointing, you may not have a definition for it, but you know when it ain't. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just need anointing on my life. I pray for anointing. Amen. Jesus came back from the wilderness. The Bible said in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And then he went to church. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 said, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, his hometown. He went to his home church and he was sitting in the synagogue. It said as his custom was on the Sabbath day. Now let me just say, going to church is a good habit. It's a great habit. Amen. And it is a habit. Somebody said, first of all, you make your habits, and then your habits make you. You are the compilation of the habits of your life. If you're always late, you made a habit of being late, then you're just late. And that's a subject. You can change that, by the way. You have my permission. If you're looking for permission, it's okay to be on time.
It's even okay to be early. Amen. But Jesus had a good habit. And his habit was, he went to church on Sabbath. And so he goes in as home church. And he sits down as the custom was. And somebody brought him a scroll and said, we want you to read today. Now, it was different in synagogue. They didn't just have one preacher, just whoever got the scroll preached that day. Wouldn't that be exciting? We may try that sometime, just for the fun of it. I may just walk down someday and just put a Bible in somebody's hand and say, your turn. The preachers are saying, all right, brother. And the rest are going, no, not me, not me. Amen. And so they handed him a scroll. It was divinely inspired of God. And the Bible said they happened to hand him the book of Isaiah. Now in Bible times they didn't have, this is what we call a book today. And Bible, I'm so glad somebody come up with this idea. This was a very brilliant idea. I'm really glad they come up with this. But in Bible times, it was scrolls. You remember the scrolls? Can you imagine how long it would take tonight if I said, everybody turn to Isaiah 61 and 1. Oops, too far. And we'd be here all night just trying to find the scriptures. So I'm glad somebody come up with a book. Cut it up in pieces and then glued it all together. And I say of that, you just flip over there real quick and we're ready to go. And then somebody got real smart and put it on the screen. Don't even have to turn anymore. Just look up here. Just click a button and pow, there we are. Amen. My, what'll happen next? We have automatic preachers. You won't even need one. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Amen. But he got the scroll. And the Bible says, it doesn't say where, but he turned to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And that's where he began to read from. And as he began to read, he read the beautiful verses that talked about that the Lord had anointed him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Those words were written about Jesus Christ 700 years before his birth. And then it's appropriate that he turns there and he takes his text from those verses that were written about him, and then he just simply says, and he closed the book and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing and in your ears. Amen. Praise God. He just folded up and he said, you're looking at him. Amen. Well, he was doing pretty good till then. Amen. The Bible said everybody was looking at him. All their eyes were fastened on him. Everybody was fascinated, and they were looking at him, listening to every word, and they were just amazed that he could read so well. And somebody turned and said, oh, is this Joseph's son? He's doing so good. As long as he stayed in their perimeters and in their box, everything was all right. But when he burst out of the box and he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Then the Bible says they started getting really upset. Amen. And he just started preaching to them then. And he said, you surely will say this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. What you're doing over there, do over here. He would love to. I said, he would love to. But there was an element that was missing, and it was a vital element called faith. God is limited only by faith. where there is faith, he can do anything that he chooses to do. But we can limit God by limiting our faith. And so he said, you want me to do the same thing here I'm doing over there? Amen. They've heard all these stories. And then he goes on to say, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Amen. It's hard for somebody that you grew up with to believe that that's God. Even his brothers and sisters didn't believe it. I can understand that. I don't believe any of my brothers were God. Not one of them. And my sweet sister either. Amen. But can you imagine growing up in a household with somebody that never made a mistake? You talk about pressure. Everything he said was right. Everything he did was right. He was absolutely perfect. Don't you just hate people like that? They make you look so bad. And so they did not like Jesus, and they certainly didn't believe who he said he was. And he got out and he started preaching, telling people he was the Messiah. And he was doing all these miracles and stuff. And they thought he'd gone off the deep end. They were trying to get him to come home. Come back here so we can take care of you. In other words, they were saying, get back in the box. We can't handle all this revelation. We can't handle all this knowledge. We can't handle what we're seeing. We can't process these miracles. We just want you to be a normal brother. Can't you just be like everybody else? Let me tell you something tonight. This world wants to put you in a box. And the reason they don't approve of you is because you're not in the box. And you're living on the outside. And your power and your presence and your anointing makes them nervous. And it disturbs them. Amen. Praise God. They don't always understand you. Him and I heard somebody in the family say, or several times, they've said, Johnny, you're just different. You're right. Amen. I'm different because of the Holy Ghost that lives in me. When I was a 15-year-old boy at the youth camp in Amarillo, Texas, on a Monday night, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and my life forever changed. Amen. By the way, young people, I'm excited to have you home, and I'm excited that you're excited, but I got a message for you tonight. Keep the change. Keep the change. Keep the change. Don't go back. Go forward. Amen. Stay on that front pew. Amen. Stay on your feet. Keep worshiping. Keep praising. Keep pushing. Keep soul winning. Keep reaching out. And it would be all right for some of the rest of us to get with them. It'd be okay for some of the rest of you to get on your feet also. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what happens when a sinner comes in an atmosphere like this? They're all confused. The first thing is fear. What is wrong with these people? Buddy Wagner used to say he lived up on the hill up there when he was a little boy. And he didn't get to go to his normal church. So he told his mom, he said, I'm going to go down to the Pentecostal church. And he did. He'd come down here a few minutes and he'd come running back up the hill. And she said, what happened? He said, those people are crazy. So the first thing happens that they observe that you're not the norm. But the next thing happens, if they hang around long enough, they're going to be standing up with you. Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost, they're going to stand up. When you clap, they're going to start clapping. And when they do that, the Holy Ghost begins to move in their heart and in their life. And the next thing you know, they'll be receiving the Holy Ghost, talking in other tongues. When we create an environment Where God can move, He will move. We created an environment for miracles. God will do miracles. Amen. Praise God. And so Jesus went to church, His home church, and He preached one of His first sermons there. And He said, the reason that I'm not doing what I'm doing in other places here, He said, well, it's like this. He said, in the days of Elijah, He said, there was a lot of widows in Israel. But God sent him out of Israel to Sidon, to Zarephath, to a Gentile widow's house. Now, why did God do that? You know why I think He did? Because He couldn't find one in Israel. If you read that story, the Bible says the Lord told that little widow in Zarephath, said, I'm going to send a prophet over here, and I want you to give him a cake when he gets here. And she was straight, literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. And so she knew, I got to hurry up and eat this cake before he gets here. I'm not going to have any. But he showed up just at the very wrong time, as far as humanly possible. And listen to what that old greedy prophet said. He said, you bake me a cake first. Boy, that's what she didn't want to hear. And the Bible says, when she obeyed, that the oil in the cruse and the meal in the barrel did not fail. That was always enough from that day forth. Amen. I think God would love to have done that for some little old widow in Israel. But He couldn't find one. Everyone, when He had talked to them, they'd say, oh no, not doing that. Amen. I got to put my family first. Me first. Amen. I need a new dress first. Watch it, Brother Grissom. Amen. Them old greedy preachers, you know, they'll get you money. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so it was about me first. He didn't find one widow. He had to go outside of Israel. Jesus said, it's not because there weren't any widows in Israel. It was a lack of faith. And then He tells the same story. He said, in Elisha, He said it wasn't because there was a shortage of lepers in Israel. There were plenty lepers in Israel. But when God wanted to heal one, He had to go outside of Israel. He went over to a neighboring general, man that needed healing, and he had to heal a man by the name of a Gentile. Wasn't because there were not lepers in Israel. It's just that the lepers in Israel had no faith in God. I don't know what to infer from this necessarily, but you know, from the time that God provided healing in the Bible for lepers and cleansing for lepers, if there was a provision in the law what to do when a leper was cleansed. But there is no record in the Old Testament of any leper ever being healed in Israel. I know there was Naaman, but he was not an Israelite. And he was from the outside brought in to demonstrate what God could do. I know of no healing of lepers in the Old Testament. If there were, they're not recorded. And maybe they were, I don't know. But I do know this, that when Jesus came, hallelujah, He healed the leper, praise God. And He said, I want you to go, and I want you to do what Moses told you to do, amen, and don't tell anybody what I've done. Well, he's a little disobedient. The Bible said He told everybody, hallelujah. He is so good, He just couldn't keep it to Himself. Amen. And so Jesus preached, and the Bible says when He got through preaching, my goodness gracious, it says, and all that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. I had that experience one time. We had this little lady come to church. First time she'd ever been there. And after service, I went back and I said, how'd you like the service? Boy, she looked at me with daggers in her eyes and anger in her face, and she said, I'm mad! I could tell. She said, I'm going to go home and get my brother, and he's going to come back here and beat you up. Well, I was gone if he came back. That was a short fellowship after service. No, not really. He just didn't come. Amen. But you know, some people hear the word of God, it makes them angry. Did. The Bible said they just got mad, just flat upset. They were angry with Jesus just simply because of what he preached. Now, I agree that was not a real pleasing sermon. Amen. Sometimes they're not, you know. Sometimes the Bible said something about to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Well, that's pretty strong. Rebuke and exhort is good. Exhortion is good. That's what we're doing. We're exhorting now. That means you're building up people's faith. That's a good encouragement. But he also said reprove. We don't like that. And rebuke, oh, we sure don't like that. So it just made people angry when he preached like that. Amen. And the Bible says they were full of wrath. Listen, verse 29, and they rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him up to the brow of the hill upon which the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were going to push him over the cliff. Wow, no wonder he didn't do any miracles there. And the Bible says he just simply turned around and he walked right through their midst and nobody laid their hand on him. Could I just tell you something tonight? When you're walking in the Spirit, nobody can touch you unless God allows you to touch you. You can walk with confidence and you can walk in power. And nobody's going to stop you unless God allows them to. That's why the Apostle Paul always called himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm in prison, but it's because God wants me here. When he gets through with me in prison, I'll be out of here. He never gave any glory, any credit to the devil. He never gave any credit to humanity. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. He understood that. What great maturity. That a man that could be in prison not get discouraged because he said, I have confidence in God and his anointing that if he wants me out of here, he'll get me out of here. Well, you know, he did get him up one time after they stoned him with stones. Amen. Left him for dead. After a little while, a hand reached up through a pile of rocks and started pushing rocks away. No bloody head stuck up. Old bruised body, stretched up. You know what he did? He walked right back into Lystra and started preaching. The Apostle Paul was persuaded that the grace of God is sufficient for me. Amen. And no matter what comes my way, it's going to be all right. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Praise God. So Jesus just walked right through their midst. Amen. Now, then the Bible, it continues the story here. It says that he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, just a few miles from Nazareth. And he came to that city, and the Bible says he taught them on the Sabbath days. Amen. You see, Nazareth loss was Capernaum's great gain. I like it says here, it says, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. Wasn't just one. He kept teaching. Hallelujah. You know what? We don't want Jesus just here on Sunday night. We want them here on Sunday morning. We want them here on Wednesday night. We want them here in youth service. We want them here in revival. We want them here in the sing-a-thon. We want them here, no matter if we're washing cars on the parking lot, if we're playing basketball in the gymnasium, whatever we're doing, Jesus, anytime, show up! We need you! So he went down the street just a little ways, and he started preaching in Capernaum. Now listen to this. The Bible says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Amen. Jesus likes to go where people want him. And if we'll stay astonished, he'll keep showing up. If we'll keep singing that God is an awesome God, he'll keep showing up. Amen. If we'll keep singing Jesus, most beautiful name that I know, he'll keep showing up. If we keep praising him and worshiping him and glorifying him, he's going to keep showing up. Amen. Praise God. And so the Bible says they were astonished at his word because he spake with power. Amen. I'm feeling some Holy Ghost power here tonight. Amen. And verse 33, it said, and in the synagogue there was a man with an unclean spirit. Now, not everybody that comes to church is going to be saved. And that's good. Amen. We want people to come here that are not saved. Because you can only save unsaved people. Him. You want new people to get the Holy Ghost? Get people here that don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now here's the thing. There may be some of them that you may not really approve of. This is not the kind of guy you'd really probably would not purposely invite to church. Because he had an unclean spirit. He was a vile person. Amen. He was a rank sinner. I read a book some years ago about revival in Colombia. There was a missionary. One of the first missionaries in Colombia was called Bill Drost. And they came to Brother Drost one time and they said, we have a loved one. And he said, he's in the insane asylum. And they keep him locked in a pad back at the back. Because he hurts himself. And he's so full of the devil that they can't control him. And so they said, would you go pray for him? Amen. And well, what do? He said, I'll go. Now, this sends chill at my back when I read this. When Brother Drost got to the prison and he started walking down the aisle, the inmates that were in there started chanting his name. They'd never seen him. He didn't know them. But they started saying, Bill Drost. The Pentecost. Bill Drost. The Pentecost. And the devil was mocking him. I'm telling you, Brother Drost was known in heaven, but he was also known in hell. And when he walked into that place and he walked back to the inner prison where they had that man chained and locked, and he walked in that room, amen, and he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord delivered that man and set him free. Amen. Praise God. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we need that power here. God wants to send some folks like that right here. Yes, he does. You hear me? Amen. You know, one of the things that happens to us, if we're not careful, we want to dictate whom God sends to church. I've heard people say, God send us a millionaire. Well, I'm not praying against it. But you know what? If God sends us one, I want him to understand that he's just one of the boys. He's just like the rest of us. Isn't that right? Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're all supposed to be the same, folks. There's not supposed to be some that are greater and some that are lesser.
Amen. And we're all supposed to be brothers and sisters around here. Amen. And but God sends people into the church. And you know what I believe? I believe the Bible, I believe that the Lord sometimes sends people to church that we may not have chosen just to see how we're going to respond. And if He sends us somebody that may not be real desirable, and we look down our nose at those people, and we don't accept those people, then God's going to say, I can't trust you with a revival. If you can't see the soul of an individual and have a compassion and mercy on the soul of an individual and not judge them by their outside, I cannot trust you with a revival. But if we can accept whomever He sends and receive them, and do everything in our power and our strength to include them and see them saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit, baptized in His name, added to the body, a valued member of the church. If we can do that, then God will say, I can trust this church with a revival. Amen. Folks, it's imperative that we have a love for the lost. Amen. And not try to choose God's church. Amen. I've seen it happen through the years. And one thing I don't want to do is to prejudge people. We call that prejudice. To prejudge people before you even know them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. So the Bible said this man had an unclean spirit, and he stood up in the middle of the service while Jesus was preaching, and he started talking out loud. First service I ever preached in Raymondville, Texas, I went there to preach to see if they'd be considerate and kind enough to vote on me for their pastor. And the very first service, in the very first morning, there was a lady that was demon-possessed, got up and started giving a message in tongues interpretation. How does that happen, Brother Grissom? It was all in the flesh. And you hear me. When people start talking in tongues that are not of God, you'll know it. It'll be like somebody taking a bucket of cold water and throwing it in your face if you're full of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, the devil showed up that morning. Amen. And here you are, you know, you're very young preacher in my early 20s and all scared to death. First thing I had to deal with. Amen. Praise God. The Lord's just letting me know, hey, you know, we got some folks here that need God. I'd like to say she got the Holy Ghost that morning, but she didn't. But you know what? She didn't come back. You know, sometimes it's just good if they're not going to get saved if they just don't come back. Amen. And so that one didn't. She was just there to test things. I believe God let her show up for a purpose. Oh, I'd love to see her filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you know what? God doesn't fill people that don't want to be filled. And God cannot and will not deliver people that don't want to be delivered. And so that was the case. Some people are so full of themselves, they don't recognize themselves. Amen. They can't even recognize an evil spirit or an unclean spirit because they're so full of self. It's a dangerous thing when you start justifying yourself for your wrongs and not accepting blames, because when you do that, you start feeding ego and you start opening doors to spirits of deception. And that's what happens to an individual that gets in that condition. Amen. And so it's a dangerous thing to just always excuse yourself. Never. The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. Amen. It's important we do that now and again, isn't it? Amen. So this demon-possessed man comes and stands up in the service and starts speaking out. And Jesus commands him to silence and rebukes the spirit. And the spirit goes out of the man. And the people are amazed.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the people, they were just amazed at what the Lord had done. And they started saying to one another in verse 38, they said, "What a word is this?" They said, "For with authority and power he commandeth unclean spirits, and they come out." And that's all they could talk about. Praise God. You know, that's what we need. It's some miracles. It gives you something to talk about. It gives you something to leave here and said, "Man, if you just would have been there the other night, hallelujah, that was somebody. God cast out a demon. Him and God healed somebody that had cancer. God healed somebody's blind eyes. Hallelujah. God healed somebody's sugar diabetes. God healed somebody's heart disease. God healed somebody's kidney disease." And that gives you something to talk about. The Bible said, and they did. They talked about it. And his fame spread all over the countryside. And as his fame began to spread, the Bible said he went out a ways and he went to Simon's house, Peter's house. When they got there, his mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus went over and prayed for her, and she was a very sweet lady. She got up and started cooking for him. My, what a reward. Amen. She put some groceries on the table. Amen. She wasn't liberated yet. Amen. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. In verse number 40, and the Bible said, "And all they that had sick with divers diseases." Divers diseases just means many different kinds of diseases. All kinds of diseases. There was a Bible college student that was preaching on divers diseases. He said divers disease was whenever people lived by the ocean and by the sea. And he would say they would dive in to get pearls. And they would dive and they would get sick because they'd go so deep. And they'd come up with divers disease and Jesus would heal them. Now that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. That's showing your ignorance. So, if you don't know what divers disease is, don't preach on it until you know what it is. That's why God made dictionaries. Amen. Amen. Or allowed them. Amen. So look it up. Amen. And so, he healed people of all kinds of diseases. He said they brought him, he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them and healed them. Praise God. And devils also came out of many, everybody say many, crying out and saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Hallelujah. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. You see, the devil knows who Jesus is. I said, the devil knows who Jesus is. Amen. And verse 42, and when it was day, he departed and went to a desert place. Get this. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. You see the difference in Capernaum and Nazareth? Nazareth, they wanted to take him out and toss him over a cliff. But in Capernaum, when he left town, they left town with him. And they said, "Jesus, please don't go. We want you here. Stay here. There's a place for you here. We want you here. Every Sabbath, please come." You see, that's the difference that faith. It wasn't because there were not some people that were demon-possessed in Nazareth. It's not because there were not sick people in Nazareth. But because Capernaum had faith, Jesus did mighty works there. But he couldn't do them in Nazareth because there was no faith there.
Amen. That's the difference that faith makes. Amen. Folks, we got to have faith. And faith starts with recognizing and wanting Jesus Christ in our midst. Every service. Every service. Whether I feel like it or whether I don't. Whether I want to sing or I don't want to sing. Whether I want to clap or I don't want to clap. Whether I want to come or I don't want to come. Whether I want to pray or I don't want to pray. None of that matters. Amen. Jesus, we just want you here and we need you here. And whatever it takes, we're going to get you here. We're going to keep you here. Amen. You see, that's the difference that faith makes. Amen. When we have faith in God, great things can happen. Great things can happen. Amen. Jesus told him, he said, I gotta go and I gotta preach in some of these other synagogues also. Amen. But you know what? Capernaum became his adopted home. Whenever he had some time to get away, he went to Capernaum. Amen. Because they received him there so readily and so beautifully. You know what I think? I think it'd be great if God said, you know what? I think I'm just going to go to Athens today. Amen. Hey, I like going over there. I like those folks. They always welcome me when I come. They believe me when I come. They love me so much, they think I can just do anything. I like going to that church. Amen. I heard the story of a man that was very poorly dressed, going through some tough times. And so he tried to talk, well, you know, I'm going through tough times. Times are so bad, I think I'll go to church. You know how it is? A lot of folks think that way, you know. They're so bad, I'm going to church. And so he tried to go to church and went to church and they wouldn't let him in. He said, we don't let people dress like you in here. So he went out and he sat down on the curb. And he was sitting there really depressed. I mean, things were so bad, he couldn't even go to church. And Jesus came by and he sat down beside him. And he said, are you all right? And the man said, well, he said, really, he said, it's bad. He said, things are so bad, I decided I'd go to church and see if I could get my life straightened out. And I went to church, tried to go. He said, they wouldn't let me in. And Jesus said, that's okay, sir. He said, I've been trying to get in there for years. They won't let me in either. Amen. There are churches where he's not welcome, you know. There are churches that have their own program. Amen. And they're not really interested. You believe that? The Bible says it's true. You know, in Laodicea, when he said that beautiful phrase, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He was knocking on the door of an apostolic church. Yes, he was. Amen. And they were inside saying, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We don't even need God around. We're so well off, we don't even need Jesus in our midst. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we don't ever want to get that well off. Amen. We want to always know that we need Jesus in our midst. Anything good that happens here, it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. We can't handle things on our own. Not rightly, not well. We make way too many mistakes without the Lord. We make wrong judgments without Jesus Christ. And friend, when it comes to working in the Spirit, amen, you've really got to have the help of the Holy Ghost. We are dealing with spiritual matters and eternal souls. And when you deal with something this precious and this complicated, you better have the Spirit of God working with you. Amen. It's like clumsy hands trying to unfold a rose. You just don't have the ability. You just don't have the ability. You can't make it unfold. It just has to happen as God allows it to happen. Amen. When we deal with people, We need to be dealing, walking in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of us that are so free to give a piece of our mind and our advice, you better be speaking in the Holy Ghost. When you get ready to straighten somebody out, you better be speaking in the Holy Ghost. When you get ready to criticize somebody and give them a piece of your mind, you better be speaking in the Holy Ghost. It is very possible to say something to somebody to cause them to be lost. When we're dealing with spiritual matters, we need to be working in the Holy Ghost, not in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, you need to seal your lips and walk away and say, now is not the time. I'm sorry. Amen. We'll have to deal with this later. Praise God. Because we are dealing with eternity here. Somebody said that doctors' mistakes are in the grave. And lawyers' mistakes are in the cemeteries. But ministry mistakes are in hell. Makes a difference. Because we're dealing with souls around here. But faith makes a difference. Faith makes a difference. Amen. People know when you're walking in faith and you're dealing in faith. And they can pick it up. Amen. They'll know that. Amen. And when we're working in faith and walking in faith, working with faith, amen, it's going to make all of the difference in people's lives. Praise God. I heard about a man one time. I'm going to close with this, but there was a fellow that preached a two-week revival in a church, and there was a particular man that was there every night, and he preached. My, he preached. Amen. Every night he preached, and he preached his very best. He preached on everything, from heaven to hell, and he preached it all. Amen. And that man never moved. And there was another revival a few months later, and the man came and was saved at the altar. And so a little later, that other evangelist came by, and he was saying, well, what's the difference? He said, that man came, and you know, we both preached the Word of God, but you never moved when I was there. He said, the difference is that when you preached about going to hell, you acted like you were kind of glad I was going there. And he said, but when he preached about hell, he preached like he was very sorry and he would do anything in his power to keep me from going there. And he said, that's what made the difference. Amen. You know, faith makes a difference. Faith makes a difference. Amen. You know, when you come to church, if you believe something good is going to happen, you're right. And if you come to church and you don't believe anything's going to happen, you're probably right. You're probably going to get what you came expecting. If you said, well, I'm just going to go tonight, but I don't think anything much is going to happen, you're probably right for you. Amen. This is what I find amazing. Amen. When you go to a service like a youth camp and you say, man, I tell you what, Tuesday night was the best service. And then somebody else says, no, it was Monday night for me. And somebody else will say, oh, it had to be Friday. Amen. You see, because it depended on what you needed when you went there. But God works in every service. God works in every service. And faith makes the difference. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time and your kind attention here. Faith. It makes a difference. Faith. It makes a difference. Oh, yes, Lord. We believe you tonight. We believe you tonight. Praise God. We believe you tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that God has given every man a measure of faith. Not any of us tonight will stand before God without excuse or with excuse, because all of us have been given a measure of faith. God's given a little bit to everybody. Amen. But then you take the faith that God has given and you develop that faith. You exercise that faith like a muscle until it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. The more you exercise your faith, the stronger it becomes. Amen. He's got to, Brother Grissom, how do I exercise faith? Well, you have problems. You have difficulties. You have needs. And you learn to believe God to get through them. Amen. And you just keep developing that. And you keep learning to trust Him. Until you get to the place you just believe God can do anything. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you almost get to the place where you almost ask for trouble just so you can see God do something. Amen. Having a tough time tonight? Going through a difficult time? Don't waste your faith. Put it to work. Amen. Believe God. Let Him do something special. Let Him show Himself. Let Him strengthen your faith tonight. Amen. Praise God. Use your faith. Fight with your faith. Amen. Hold on to your faith. Praise God. Why don't you bring it to Jesus tonight? Got a difficulty? Got a problem? Got a need? Bring it to Jesus tonight. With faith. With faith. Amen. With faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Praise God. But just bring your faith. Doesn't have to be a great faith. Just bring faith. That's all He's looking for. That's all He's looking for. Just faith. Amen. Stepping out, coming to an altar. Just saying, God, I'm going to show You My faith by My coming. I don't have to figure it out. That's Your job. I don't know how to solve the problem. I'm going to give it to You because it's too big for me. I need You, Jesus. But here's my faith. I'm going to show You My faith by My works and by My obedience. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Here's my faith tonight. Yeah, but bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here it is, God. Amen. I need my family saved. I want to be a soul winner. I want to help my neighbors. I want to help my co-workers. God, give me a burden for the lost. Hallelujah. Don't let me sit idle when there's a harvest wasting in the fields. Amen. When the waves of grain are golden. Amen. And they're ripe and ready for the sickle. Don't let me sit in unconcern. God, help me to sharpen my sickle. Head for the field. Believe in God to help us to reap a great harvest.
To that secret place where I can be with You. And You can make me like You. And wrap me in Your arms. Wrap me in Your arms. Wrap me in Your arms.
Yes.
To that secret place where I can be with You. You can make me like You. Wrap me in Your arms. Wrap me in Your arms.
Amen. Praise your name, Jesus.
go before me. You sealed my way. Your hand upholds me. I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee. Shed for me, there's no greater love than love.
You have overcome the grave.
Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? Oh, you tore the veil. You made a way when you said.
Thank you.
Excuse me just for a minute. I need to make an announcement that wasn't made. Excuse me. Fireworks at the Bacon's house. Go eat something and then come out, and we're going to pop fireworks and whatever. Hey, if I could have all the youth up here on the front two rows real quick, just really, really quick. All the youth department, please, real quick.